This is where we break through the traumas and the mental illnesses that are holding amazing parents back from their dream family life. You can find more resources at wandahoward.com. Thanks for joining us, and let's get started. Welcome back, everyone. Again, we're here with Doug, and I'm so glad to have you back, Doug. It's been pretty much back-to-back for us, but now for this episode, I'm going to hand the reins over to Doug, and he's going to take it away from our last session that we had together, and we're going to be talking all about our takeaways as well as moving forward, and what does that look like in my life, in your life, and anyone's life that's going through therapy and coaching, and how can we move forward in a way that doesn't leave us crippled or dependent on therapy? Because Doug talks a lot about that, that it shouldn't be something that you become so attached to that you have to have it in order to make progress in your life. So take it away, Doug.
Hey, let's do this. It is good to be with you. And it was fun to have you guys come up here to my office. It, as you sat here on the in the office and we visited, boy, we hit on a lot of corners of your life.
We did.
Like a lot of them, right? And there were moments where the conversations were awesome, and there were moments where they were completely unexpected. And we were steering into those core basic parts of who we are and what makes relationships work well. I know you have a list of takeaways. What were two or three that were, let's go into that space that were unexpected.
I would say, well, it was kind of unexpected and also hoped for. One of the things that's super important to me is to not take myself too seriously anymore. And what I mean by that is for so long, I was stuck in this place of this was the worst thing ever. My life was terrible. This was hard. And for you to fully get to know me, you have to understand how hard this was type of a thing that I would go into every relationship with. And that was one heavy, but also it didn't work, because every time I would go in with that, people would just be like, that sounds heavy and hard, and I don't know what to do with it. And
not a lot of us can carry that.
Yeah, and the conversation would fizzle out, or because we spent so much time on me trying to convince them how hard it was, the time was over and they'd go on their life and we'd have no idea if we actually connected on anything. And so just this ability to share what I've gone through in a way that this is part of me, but not in a way of I still need help, like please protect me and keep me safe kind of thing. And one of the things that I've specifically looked for is I wanted to work with somebody that could laugh. That used to actually be a pretty hard trigger for me of when I would share something important and it was responded to with a laugh. That was something that I felt like, how dare you? How dare you laugh at me? Like that, this was real. This was hard. But I was actually specifically looking for that now, not in a condescending, oh, you're an idiot kind of way, but in a, oh, well, that makes sense. Okay, cool. And like, that's familiar and that's, you're safe still. And it's not a big deal. Like we're here, we're not there anymore. And you did that. And so I was hoping for it. But it was very refreshing to see how you could do it. Not just for me, but it helped seeing you model it when I would say something heavy and you kind of were like, oh, okay, cool. That's not a big deal. Was kind of like, oh, okay. I know how to, I see you modeling that a little bit more. I know how to hold that space for myself and for others. So that was one thing that was super helpful and just endearing.
Love it. That's good.
Another one I would say is, I guess it was unexpected how much we talked about sex, we talked about intercourse and everything. We kind of have throughout the different sessions.
Well, it was nice having your husband there, because then the conversation was in real time and it was about the relationship component, not the behavioral side of things. And it was awesome.
Yeah. And that was kind of a few things happened there. One, there was just educational, like helpful information that we didn't know as our bodies are growing and changing. It was like, oh, well, that's helpful. That's very nice to know about. But there was also some things that was reassuring, because as you talked about them, kind of what I understood anyways, is you kind of talked about them as a expected from sexual abuse and things that I had experienced as a kid, expected that these would be hard issues. And as you kind of walked through them, realizing, oh, a lot of those aren't issues for me anymore. Like, me and my husband's sex life is really good and really intimate. And it was just, there isn't many opportunities for that conversation to come up or to talk about. And so I hadn't really realized just how good it all was until it was spoken out loud, and just, it gave us an extra boost and an extra just comfort in that area of life. I would say some of the coolest takeaways of what was super helpful for me was the grounding work and the timeline therapy. And we had done timeline therapy before, but being in your office, for those listening, like, I was able to go into a room and Doug laid out this rope and this stick that's in the back of my room that I do stretches with every morning to ground myself each day. And just that physical, very practical application of how to ground yourself was very helpful for me. I spend so much time in my head that I want a physical something, image and experience where I can put everything in. So that was, I was both really nervous of like, is this like woo woo to voodoo type of stuff for it to really even work? Or is it actually going to make a difference? And it definitely did. All of it made a huge difference. And it was that same day. And I actually texted Doug right after this happened, because it was such a big deal to me. But that same day, someone who was very confrontational and usually pretty triggering, and for me, he had a lot of issues and things that he wanted to talk through and was being pretty vocal about his opinion. And most of the time, whenever somebody is pretty confrontational, that I know personally and in family relationships, I cower. I just want to keep the peace, so to speak, and just kind of let them have their way, even though I don't agree. And I didn't even feel the need to. I just sat there in it and went back and forth. And every time he had a rebuttal, I was like, oh, that's interesting, but what about this? And we just went back and forth. And I could tell that he was getting super frustrated that I wasn't just like agreeing with everything. But I'm like, I'm fine. I like, we can stop at any moment, but I'm fine. Do you want to stop? And he's like, no, you've got to understand. And we just kept going. And I have no idea if it really even helped him or anything. But the cool thing about it at the end of it was just, I didn't feel like a terrible person for standing up for myself, which is huge. And I didn't feel just that a lot of times after confrontational interaction or triggering events, I often go through that replay of, oh, I should have done this, and I should have done this, and what about this? And there were things that came up of like, oh, I could try this next time. But it wasn't I should have this last time. Yeah. That was fun.
Well, let me show you behind the curtain a little bit more of what I was thinking through these three categories, okay?
Yeah.
Humor is a big part of who we are as human beings. We are built to smile, and we resolve a lot of things through through that change, that chemical change, that biological, physiological change that takes place when we introduce and see things through this lens. And it's difficult for some people. It's difficult for some issues, right? And there's timing is involved and appropriateness is involved and everything else. Not taking ourselves too serious is almost always good medicine. And that doesn't mean we minimize what we've been through. If you remember, when I would, especially in those very beginning sessions, when I would smile and laugh and bring some lightheartedness into what you were bringing in, which was some very serious stuff, I would usually say something like, Wanda, it is so easy to love you. You are awesome. Yeah. Right. And so I was actually bringing in a concept. I was moving your thoughts into a space of compassion and kindness for yourself with my words and lightening the situation. You know, it's the equivalent. I remember I was a young student at the university, and I made a comment in a class, and in this professor's class, that I just thought walked on water. He was so smart, and I remember he stopped, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, I've never thought about it that way." And he stopped, and he wrote down what I said, and here I am. I'm 30 years later, and I'm still remembering this experience. When someone receives us, right? When they stop and write down our words, when they stop and they smile with us and say, "I love that about you. That's one of my favorite things about you." It isn't just let's lighten the mood. It's about activating a chemical cascade inside of you. A compassion chemical cascade. And as I turned that on over and over and over, eventually you got to the place where you could feel it and it broke through the seriousness. And it works. We deal with our lows. I help people in their depression, right? We manage their lows because we control their manic, right? We solve the low when we manage the highs. And so if I can get someone up to a place of feeling good and teach them some things up in here, then they're more prepared to deal with the lows. And that's a big concept. There's a lot in that. I don't mean to just throw it out there and not go into it some more, but it's a big deal. The whole part of that discussion around sex life and about progress and things, especially with you and your hubby, was really because this is a space where there's an enormous win in your life. That's it. This, everything we steered into, all the education, all the talk, all the questions, all of it was because you needed to see the enormous progress and triumph that this is in your life. And as we talked and as you guys shared, there was discovery, but there was more than like, oh, here's new ideas or here's new realities about what's already happening in our life. It was awareness of like, not only are we doing great in this area, but we can make it even better. And how cool is that? We just don't have enough opportunities for couples to have those kind of conversations. And it requires a lot of trust, right? And a lot of safety. And it's not about, you know, the details of that conversation, but it's a crazy important conversation to have, especially for someone who has been through some of the things that you've been through.
Oh, no, I would agree with that.
Right? This is a space where there's an enormous win in your category, in your column, and it's awesome.
One of the things, go ahead.
No, please.
I was just going to say, one of the things that has helped too when you're talking about the highs and the lows is the very first session that we had together, you talked about how when we come out of a, like we were super high and then we hit baseline and then we get depressed or anxious or angry and hit those negative emotions. And when we work through that, we expect ourselves to peak back up again. But really what is happening is we're going to hit even more down low for the next 24 hours or so. And then we're going to pick back up. And just being aware of that mental image or that just way that our body flows has really helped in several just interactions at times. Just last night, I was talking with my husband and I shared with him something simple and he listened, he heard it, we talked about it. And because he was so compassionate, understanding about it, I started to be really sad and started to really cry and started to, and he was like, had this look of, oh no, wait, I thought things were getting better. I thought I did really good. And I told him that imagery of like, no, this is good. I finally feel, because we worked through this thing, it's like all of the things that pull me towards just be happy, just be okay, just be fine, kind of released. And like, now you're safe. And I just like dropped into safety, which came with a lot of emotion of, there was a few things, not lots, because me and my husband do pretty good at talking about things, but there's a few things that have kind of built up that I didn't want to talk about. And because there was this moment of safety and through this little issue, that now I was like very vulnerable and I felt very exposed and I felt very like, now I feel like I can talk to you more, but I don't want to hurt you by talking to you more, and just all of this swirl of emotions. And he was very good about it. And we were able to talk through that. And we both have had an amazing day today, but it's just that imagery has really helped with not just depression, but understanding like the human cycle. So that's beautiful too.
Those chemicals that come with crisis, the trauma, the negativity of so many things, those chemicals take some time to burn out of us. Yeah. So we got to ride it out. And I'm so pleased for you. That's awesome. I love the idea of being able to say that you dropped into a place of safety. Because where have you fallen before, right? The safety was there. You just couldn't see it.
Yeah. It did not feel safe to open up or to have hard emotions that felt vulnerable in a very damaging kind of way.
Right. And that's actually another piece of the candidness to our conversations. I mean, we call a spade a spade. When we're talking about intimacy and sex, you know, we were really talking about things. Mm. Part of that straightforwardness and that candidness is not ever to promote anything inappropriate or vulgar or anything. It's actually just to put on the table this ability to talk about things we've never been able to talk about. And that was a big part of the undercurrent of those conversations, right? To get your husband to say words he's never said before. And to ask questions he's never even imagined asking before. It wasn't about directly about the sex life. It was about, oh my gosh, there's a million corners of my life that I've never been able to talk to Wanda about. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big part of what's happening behind the scenes in those things. And the last one, you know, how we get to a subject. This is a big one, and this is parenting, and this is relationship. Years ago, I was director over this large global organization over some very sensitive topics. And I would go into the executive directors, the executive leadership of the organization. And I would have to bring in information that was did not shed a favorable light on the institution. My job was sometimes was to bring in things that were where we were failing, where we were falling short. And I learned there that how we get to the bad news matters. And somewhere along the line, I just captured this and kind of started to live by it. But we have to do things in a way that leads to the result that we want. And these conversations, the coaching conversations, when I'm very direct and I call things out that are off the mark, right? Or I challenge things, or I use humor or whatever, right? It's because I'm trying to get you to a place in a way that when you get there, you're ready to change. And I can have the information, I can know the solution, but if I can't get you there in a way that you're ready to receive it, I failed. We do this with our children, we do this with our partner, we do this with our loved ones. We sometimes people hedge and they hold back and they never say what they need to say to get someone all the way to how they feel. And that's not healthy. We have to get there in a way that everybody is prepared for the conversation. And you know, most of the time, if we pause and we think about the right way to get our partner to talk about something that's bothering us, or get ourselves to a place where we can deal with, you know, finances or some hard corner decision in our life. When we get there in the right state, then the solutions usually present themselves.
Yeah.
If we've got to deal with, you know, not enough money in the checking account, to do that over a $1 ice cream cone that we still can afford is like a really good idea, right? Because then what you're really saying is, no, we can't go out to eat. We can't do all these other things. This is it. But I love this ice cream cone. And let's talk about all the other things we need to do about our finances or whatever. And so we can get there in the right way. When people are activated or triggered, hurting, that can require some pretty skilled hands, but we can get them there.
Yeah.
So those are a few things that were happening behind the scenes during that extended session with you guys. So
I love that. And I appreciate the insight too, because it's just, again, reassuring to hear what other people are seeing as they work with me. That's like, more and more I don't feel the need to have other people's opinions. Before it was like this validating thing when someone would tell me how they saw me or their perspective. Now it's more of a, oh, that's fun, I didn't know that, like that's fun information and that's helpful just as humans and connection. So that part's really fun, but it also reminded me about that there was this speech I was listening to, and I'm trying to remember exactly how she said it. Basically, it was that a teacher is a terrible teacher if she gives all the kids the answer to the math problem. Like, it doesn't do any good. And if she just keeps saying, do it this way, how I've told you to do it, that also doesn't do any good. It's right when you can sit with the kid, figure out where they're, how they think about the problem, what they're doing to solve it, what part specifically are they getting stuck on, and then sitting with them in that part and helping unravel it until it makes sense in their head, that then they can come and they can find the solution every time on their own, instead of having to just beat themselves up because they're like, oh, I know I was taught to memorize this in sixth grade and I should know this still. But instead, they can just easily find it again and again and again. So I like that. So yeah, now now a lot of my questions and stuff is moving forward is, I had kind of that, a freak out moment a little bit, and I'll share a little bit here of, for the most part, things have been getting really good, and there's been little triggers, little tiny things here and there, but for the most part, they wouldn't perpetuate my life. They wouldn't control anything. There was one time though, that a trigger popped up. I was looking at a scrapbook with my kids, and I have pictures of my parents in there and siblings. And that's super important to me. I want my kids to know my parents, to know my siblings, to know the good things about them and who they were. And just as I was sharing some of the stories, like my son, who only ever met my mom once, and he was just a tiny baby, he was asking who this person was that was holding him. And I was like, oh, that's my mom, that's your grandma. And we talked a little bit about her, and I shared how when she laughed, she couldn't breathe, she couldn't make any noise whatsoever, and her eyes went all the way closed, and she'd just jiggle up and down because she hurt so bad from laughing. And as I started explaining some of these dear qualities and traits to me about these people, it started bringing up all of this other stuff of just feeling triggered of why aren't they here? What happened? Should I have done something? And it wasn't to the point of overwhelm, which was awesome, because there's been a lot of times where triggers have just stopped me in my tracks. But over the next 2 days to 3 days, it just wasn't going away. And it was just kind of like, what do I do about that? How do I handle this? Mm-hmm. And so I texted Doug. I was like, okay, help me through this. Like, how can you help? And one of the things that you said, Doug, was just that it's okay to be triggered and that it doesn't have to control your life anymore, kind of an idea. And that really resonated with me, because that's been my experience with depression. I still have symptoms of depression or anxiety, but now I control them. They don't control me. I am the master of my mentality and my emotions, and I know them, and they're dear to me, instead of them constantly wreaking havoc on my life and controlling every aspect. So that was huge for me, of just realizing triggers are the same. It's okay for them to pop up. And as long as they're just there and they come and they ebb and flow through your life, like, that's fine. And it's not, there isn't an issue. And that's brought even more peace. Join us next week for part 2 of this podcast. Thank you again for being a part of our podcast family, and for the difference you are making right now in the world and in the walls of your own home. If you're wanting to support parents everywhere, you can do that by leaving a rate and review. This helps so many find connection and answers they are searching for. Also, don't forget to go to WandaHoward.com and get your own free parenting blueprint. I love you all, and we will see you next time.